and welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm Dave Waldron, and today we're looking ahead to a staple of live music and a symbol of summertime in Alaska with Salmon Fest, an annual concert series that takes place every summer in Nanilchik. The event draws in loads of national and local bands and thousands of Alaskans from all over the state to converge on the small Kenai Peninsula community. This year will mark the 15th year of the festival, and with me to talk about it is David Stearns, the Assistant Director of Salmon Fest. David, welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Thank you so much, David. I'm glad to be here and on Alaska Public Media again.
It's great to have you. I've always wanted to do a Salmon Fest show, actually, but usually Hometown Alaska is on hiatus for the months of June and July.
Well, glad we're back for
this.
We're
back early this year. Yeah. We can thank our producer, Ammon Swenson, for, you know, having a child. Big props to baby Spencer there. Thank you for changing our schedule this year. So, David, tell us about the festival Salmon Fest. I understand it was once called Salmon Stock way back in the day. It's now in its 15th year. How did this little Nanilchik festival get its start and get to this level of notoriety that we have now?
We are thrilled to celebrate our 15th anniversary. Obviously, we don't count the COVID year, even though we did have a digital festival, like many festivals did.
Yeah.
But yeah, it got started way back in 2011. So many listeners might know about the proposed Pebble Mine and the fight to protect Bristol Bay, which is an absolute treasure for Alaska, for the U.S., and for the world. It's one of the last large-scale salmon runs left on the planet, billions and billions of dollars in economic activity, and an incredible, you know, natural resource and sustaining resources that have been around for thousands and thousands of years and will hopefully remain intact for thousands and thousands of years to sustain Alaskans and people of the country and the world. And the festival got started as a kind of a public-facing event to, you know, help rally, you know, public opinion and bring the industry together and bring NGOs and nonprofits together to talk about the benefits of Bristol Bay, how important it is to the Alaskan economy and our culture. Salmon is essential for human and non-human species alike. And, you know, we all got started in 2011 in Nanilchik, and it's just kind of been building organically. And, you know, we're absolutely honored and humbled to kind of be the people to put it on. But it's certainly, the event itself is for Alaskans, and it's definitely grown as people who have been multiple times know that it's expanded. But it's still, you know, it's an inherently an Alaskan event, and we can't thank people enough for their support over the years. And it's amazing that we're in year 15, you know, not counting the COVID year, but it's we got a lot in store for the anniversary this summer.
I bet. And yeah, what were some of the earliest artists? What was the lineup like in 2011? Do you remember?
I do. You know, it's funny that you bring that up, because I've been telling the story, and I'll keep it brief. But, you know, we're bringing back some artists from 2011 and the Salmon Stock years, one of which is Jackie Green, who's on the lineup with Anders Osborne this year. They got a cool new four piece that they're touring with. And it was my second time coming to Alaska after my father, who's the executive director and producer of the festival, used to work for the Grateful Dead. So a veteran of the music business and artist hospitality, because this is a pretty unique tour stop for many artists, you know.
Yeah,
and so we try to really make it as comfortable and as nice as possible. And showcase Alaska and obviously salmon. And if people ever swing by the green room, you know, there's some delicious food in there. But I was, you know, I don't know if lucky enough or, you know, it was just kind of the happenstance, but I got put on the same shuttle with Jackie Green the first year. And we got stuck on the Turnagain Arm for 11 hours.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
One of those days.
You know, it happens periodically and usually in unfortunate circumstances. But
finally,
we got down to the festival, you know, middle of the night. And then the next day, they were scheduled to play. And my dad sent me to go pick them up. And I'm driving them to the festival. Jackie Green's laying in the back of an RV, strumming, kind of getting ready to play. And a moose runs out in front of the RV. And he comes sliding off the back bed into the hallway in the RV and lands on the floor. And it's, you know, first of the day before is 11 hours in traffic, and then the next day he's flying off. But he'll be back this year after 15 years away. But the top of the lineup features Trampled by Turtles, who was here in 2016, Guster, who's been a festival staple all over the world for 20 plus years, kind of a unique indie pop artist, Goth Babe, will be here, who's doing a lot of great work on the Tongass National Forest in Southeast. and two-time Grammy Award winner Molly Tuttle. Many people might know her. And then, you know, there's 60 plus bands. You know, we do the four stages. So, I mean, I can go down the list. A lot of local talent. So, yeah.
No, I want to get into all that, and especially the local talent later on in the show. But I do like that you brought up this whole purpose. Salmon Stock got started. I think a lot of people think of it as a concert series first, but really the whole point is in the name. It's Salmon Fest. It's about the salmon. So what do you think is the most pressing issue today involving Alaska salmon? You mentioned Pebble Mine.
Certainly. Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, salmon are facing an array of problems from development to mining to climate change to water temperatures. You name it. It's hard life out there for salmon, farm fish. You know, that's a pretty contentious issue. You know, it's hard to kind of necessarily pinpoint one particular thing. I think it's sort of the breadth of what the oceans, you know, Alaskan waters, rivers, and the natural habitat that sustains, you know, the species and all the other species that kind of depend on it. And kind of try to look through an ecological lens that's got many moving pieces and everything has its niche. And so, you know, one thing goes, it kind of jeopardizes the, you know, the rest of it. So, I mean, I'm not necessarily a scientist by trade, but we rely on the work of, you know, the Coalition of Bristol Bay, commercial fishermen, United Tribes, all the environmental organizations that are involved, and, you know, Fish and Wildlife. And, you know, just from the reports that we're getting, it's three or four things, not necessarily just the one. But, I mean, we're doing our best to keep the public's attention on the plight of wild salmon and, you know, all the other things that go into sustaining it.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's political season. We have elections coming up soon. Has a politician ever asked to like speak at a salmon fest before?
We get requests all the time, and
really? Okay.
We are a 501c3, so we cannot. So anyone can buy a ticket and come and walk around,
right.
You know, so we can't really stop that. But,
yeah.
But certainly, I mean, it's a, you know, we're getting somewhere between 8,000 and 9,000 people, and it's a great place. There's a lot of nonprofit organizations that come and talk about what they're working on. You know, there's 100+ vendors. So it's definitely a place to meet and greet the public, you know? So, I mean, that's why all those people are there, but we, you know, unfortunately cannot engage in that. But
fortunately, depending.
Yes, I guess depending on what, yeah, how you look at it. But we definitely try to keep the focus on the salmon and the other things. And, you know, I did want to mention that Arches Alaska is the kind of the organization, the steward organization of the festival.
Okay.
And that organization has a board of directors. There's 40+ recipient organizations that receive financial contributions and other services from Arches. So, you know, while salmon and Bristol Bay remains the focus of the festival, we've kind of entered into, you know, from the arts to student to STEM science camps to, you know, youth sports on the peninsula and statewide. So there's a lot of things that the organization and things that Salmon Fest supports that do go beyond, you know, just salmon. So, but that,
right,
that is still certainly our focus.
Absolutely. I was just thinking it'd be kind of cool to be endorsed by Salmon Fest, you know, if you're running for office. Well, there's a lot more going on other than just the music and not just, you know, the mission that we just talked about. Tell me about this Ray Troll scholarship that you've got now with Salmon Fest. How'd you manage to land this Alaska legend that's already known for their salmon art for Salmon Fest? Seems perfect fit.
Totally. Yeah. Thanks for asking about that. Ray was kind enough to lend his skills to the first Salmon Stock. So we were, again, so lucky to have him involved and for him to lend his craft and his talent. He still is involved in various capacities and will actually be at the festival this summer to talk about lifetime achievements for, you know, salmon champions and people that have been involved in protecting Bristol Bay and be on stage talking. But, you know, we wanted to honor his contributions to the festival and his contributions to Alaska and art and conservation. And so we got with him and said, hey, you know, we can't thank you enough for all of your support over the years. We'd love to name a scholarship in your honor and, you know, give it to a young student who's you know, grew up in Alaska and is pursuing art and kind of the nexus between art and conservation. And so we put this out and we've been receiving applications over the last, you know, 6 or 7 months. And we are about to bestow the first winner of the scholarship at the festival. And the winner will be alerted soon to, and hopefully they can join us at the festival. But yeah, it's something that is another kind of program of Salmon Fest that, you know, that not necessarily, I mean, it's salmon related in the sense that it's Ray Troll. He does a lot of salmon yes. art, but uh-huh. it's a way for us to give back to, you know, young people and students kind of pursuing art and conservation.
Absolutely. It's very cool too.
Yeah.
Well, has there ever been, I have to ask this question. I know this is going to get people get their pitchforks out and get angry maybe, but has there ever been talks to move the festival to a larger space? You know, this happens. It happened to the Highland Games recently, you know. Sometimes people move to like an Anchorage location or the Palmer State Fairgrounds. Is there any potential chance that it could ever move, or is it like locked in the Nilchik forever, you think?
So Arches, people who have come to the festival for many years know that we expanded, we added 50 acres to where the original festival was.
Oh, really?
About okay. 4 years ago.
Okay.
So after COVID, we spent 2020 building a big new amphitheater that can hold somewhere between 8,000 and 10,000 people and about a 45 or 50 acre campground. So many people know that come to the festival know about the Arches campground. It's mind blowing how popular it is. It sold out in 2 hours this year.
Oh, wow.
And so, so we're doing our best to, you know, the goal is always to make the festival better, not necessarily bigger. So, you know, we kind of have a sweet spot right now of numbers of attendance, and we're really trying to refine the site, add amenities, bathroom complexes, things like that. We're building a big new lodge down there, 6,000 square feet, that's kind of overlooking Deep Creek, and you kind of see the tip tops of the mountains in Homer
yeah.
from there, which will be available for weddings and retreats, nonprofits, and there's other events that happen at the site, the Kenai Peninsula Fair, and another festival called Sacred Acre, which some people know about. But we are planning to do additional events there throughout the summer, and programming with the lodge and STEM camps. So we are fully committed to this site that we have really been reinvesting in, and we hope that people see those investments and enjoy those, and we will continue to make it nicer and more refined, and, you know, hopefully one of the best venues in the country, you know, which we really are trying to do.
Yeah, so I'm sure you made a lot of people happy with that answer, David. Well, let's talk about this year's lineup. You mentioned some of them. You mentioned some of the headliners. Let's talk about some of the local acts. Who are some performers you're really excited to hear from this year?
Well, we've been fortunate enough to have some of the, you know, top bands in Alaska be with us every year. One of which, Hope Social Club, is, you know, come back, and we've been talking to Melissa Mitchell, who's got apparently something special up her sleeve for this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, they always bring it at Salmon Fest, and we love them. And, you know, we got, I think one thing that is exciting this year, Black Bear on the Bad Men, another, you know, one, an Anchorage staple, H3. I mean, they play all over the state, but they mm-hmm. we're kind of pairing them with this reggae legend, Pato Banton, who's playing. So we'll kind of have that. We do a late night electronic thing, and we're really excited about the local talent that's coming. Poster Child, DJ Fractal Theory is kind of doing, he's actually moving out of state, so he's going to be kind of doing a goodbye set. And then a guy from Moose Pass, Brooks the Wook. So the late night thing is going to be pretty cool this year. But I think the bands that people see are kind of around the state throughout the year. Another one I do want to mention is Wiley Post, who I saw at this festival called Harbor Fest a couple weeks ago. And they're fantastic. So the poster has all the bands on it, and we've got many, and I don't know if I could just go down the list. Obviously, I'm not going to do that right now, but I mean, it's those certainly are kind of some of the top local ones that I'm excited to see. I mean, I always love seeing Roland Roberts as well.
Well, let's play a little bit of music from these artists. Is there any song in particular from one of the before mentioned bands that we can tease our listeners with, let them get a taste of the festival there?
You know what? And this is a song that's been out for a little while, but every time I hear it, it makes me smile. It makes me think of summer in Alaska. It's Wild and Free by Hope Social Club. I don't know if you know that song.
I don't, but I'm going to hear it right now.
Yeah.
Let's take a listen.
Just live your dreams, be wild and free. Ain't no need to explain them to me. You can run to the mountains or run to the sea.
And that is a little taste of Hope Social Club's Wild and Free. Thank you for the recommendation there, David. Very nice to hear some of our local artists.
Absolutely.
Very, very beautiful sound. Who are some other artists that you're looking forward to hearing at this Salmon Fest?
It is so hard to choose, but another band that's been with us for 10 plus years is Blackwater Railroad out of Seward. Love those guys. And they have a brand new album that just came out, Caravan. And the title track on that, Caravan, absolutely fantastic. Also Big Timber. So you can't go wrong with either of those songs.
Okay, well, let's take a listen. Brand new music from Blackwater Railroad. Brand new music right there. Big Timber from Blackwater Railroad. Music that just came out last month. So very excited to hear. I've heard of this band many times, heard their music before, but I have yet to see them live. David, one band that I have seen live is one that we're going to play in just a minute here, one that I'm very excited. But I just want to talk about the variety of music. You know, I think you guys are known for a kind of a style at Salmon Fest, but you hit kind of every genre at this point, 15 years in, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And that we like to tell people that. You know, you come down to the Kenai Peninsula, it's your summer vacation down there, and there's a lot going on at the festival. But we like to say that if you don't like what's going on one stage, just take a walk around the festival. We got four stages. You're bound to find something that you like on one of them, because we have the focus on Americana, rock and roll, indie, folk, bluegrass, stuff like that. But we also feature reggae. We feature a little bit of punk. We feature a little bit of hip hop. We feature electronic music in the evenings. So we're fairly confident that, you know, at some point throughout the weekend, you're gonna walk by and hear something that's gonna catch your vibe and pull you towards the stage.
Yeah, and this next artist we'll hear from not just features hip hop, but they feature a harp and hip hop together. So what can you tell us about them?
Yeah, Kufnots and Christine Elise. We've had them, I think, a couple of times at the festival, but they are a national act that is such a dynamic and unique sound, like you just said, hip hop and harp, and it's melodic, but also has a beat, and they touch on, you know, the lyrical content touches on some really important stuff. And, you know, that is certainly one, you know, no matter what your music taste is, you're going to want to check that one out during the festival. So
I agree. I saw them at the Lunch on the Lawn series for the Anchorage Museum, and they were incredible. So what song are we going to hear here, David?
Okay, one that does stand out to me is called Spirit Walks.
All right, let's take a listen.
When the rays break through the clouds, they're on my eyes.
If your soul loves the sun.
That was Kufnots. You just heard one of the many artists performing at this year's Salmon Fest. 15 years of Salmon Fest. David, before we let you go, I have to ask this question. Do you have an all-time past favorite performer that you've heard over the 15 years you've been doing this now?
Such a great question. Such a hard question. I think it might be a tie. You know, maybe the edge going to Brandi Carlile's first appearance at Salmon Fest with Folsom Prison. Incredible rendition. Blew the doors off the place. I've rarely seen crowds in that much of a frenzy. The other one was just a couple of years ago when Sierra Farrell and Leftover Salmon did a rendition of Seven Spanish Angels as an encore. She came back out and talked about talent, vocal talent, and just a stage persona. But she was absolutely fantastic. I mean, her set itself, but she came back out and did that. So I'm sure I'm leaving out so many epic performances, and you know, I'm lucky if I get to see five songs throughout the weekend, because we're running around like crazy people doing stuff. But you try to make time to just catch a couple of songs here and there for people that you really want to see. And but yeah, those two really do, you know, stand out. So about 10 years apart, 2012 and 2022 or whatever. So
that's a good stretch. Well, David, last question for you here. So if someone is new to Salmon Fest, they've never been before, what's some basic advice you can give them, whether it's like the parking situation, the camping, arriving early, like some good advice for people that are thinking of braving it this year for the 15 year anniversary?
Yeah, no, it's a wonderful experience. It's a good reason to come down to the peninsula if people, you know, don't get down there throughout the year. we try to make it as easy as possible for people. So there's a lot of RV and camping available within walking distance that is still available. Arches, the on-site camping did sell out in 2 hours. Yep. and is very popular. But what we do is we run a free shuttle service to about 10 campgrounds within, you know, the Ninilchik, the greater Ninilchik area. So,
oh, nice.
So people can catch those, and it runs from like 11 a.m. till about 2 a.m. So you can come down, jump on the shuttle, kind of come and hang out. You know, we have 120 plus vendors, so you can come and, you know, peruse the all the art and the stuff that's available, all the great delicious food. You know, we have the top beer and wine and cocktails, and you can kind of check out Deep Creek and walk to the beach in Ninilchik. And the experience is much more than just a music festival. It definitely is a community. It kind of becomes the fifth largest population center in the state during Salmon Fest time. Yeah. So, you know, we are our little village, and, you know, there's And also our staff is available. You know, we dedicate a ton of staff to communicating both email, phone, you know, at the festival itself. So if you have questions, you can come to us. We'll get right back to you. We're very accessible. And I think it's definitely a place for everybody from all walks of life. And we have about almost 1,000 children that come. We have a daily kids program, so parents can enjoy themselves. You can drop your kiddos off and go take off and go watch the music, and we hire teachers and staff to do run activities. And there's a passport program for the Salmon Causeway, so people can visit the nonprofits and engage with the stuff that's going on in their community. So there is a lot to it, a lot going on. And it's certainly worth, even if you can only come for a day, you can buy a day ticket, you can buy a 2 day ticket. So it's hard to sum it all up into one sentence, as you just heard, but it's definitely worth the trip down.
Yeah, 2 a.m. shuttle service in Ninilchik, Alaska. You'll never see it again in your life.
Yeah, I don't know. And there might even be pizza on there. Who knows?
I would hope so. Well, I want to thank my guest, David Stearns. He's the assistant director of Salmon Fest. David, thanks so much for coming in today, talking music and getting us all excited for your 15th year of Salmon Fest. Congratulations.
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
After this short break, we'll be back with Ryan Miller from the band Guster. He's one of the headliners playing this year's Salmon Fest, coming up this weekend. I'm Dave Waldron, and you're listening to Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm Dave Waldron, and today we're looking ahead to Salmon Fest, which will be taking place in Ninilchik this weekend. The annual concert series features more than 50 local bands and a handful of national acts as headliners. And one of those year's headliners is the band Guster, who have been making music for more than 30 years now, some of which I'm sure many of our listeners have heard. And with me now is Ryan Miller, who is the lead singer of Guster and one of the band's founding members. Ryan, welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Welcome to Alaska. That's music to my ears.
Yeah, I understand you're going to complete your 50 states bingo with Alaska. Were you just saving us for last because we're the best, or is it a locational thing?
No, I mean, you know, we're based in New England, so it's, yeah. It probably was the most. So it was basically between you guys and Hawaii, and we managed to get to Hawaii last year. So as soon as we got that one in the belts, we called our agent and we said, dude, it's time. We got to make it happen. And I thought we were just going to be playing some dive bar. You know what I mean? And he really came in. He came in huge. Apparently Salmon Fest is amazing. And it's also my 50th state. So I've been to 49 states as well, you know, and then never been to Alaska. So I'm going to have a lot of ignorance around this, but so much excitement. But yeah, I didn't know much about Salmon Fest, but the word on the street is this is a great, great festival. There might be some people there.
There might be more than a dive bar population there. I think in the close to 10,000 range is what I was told.
That's incredible.
So,
all right then. Good job, agent.
Yeah, really. Yeah, way to save the best for last there. I understand Guster, you know, they've been around a long time. You guys have been playing. I think I want to say you were in high school or a teenager when you guys formed this band.
Very, very close. We met the first day of college.
First day of college, nice.
We were definitely teenagers. It was the fall of 1991. So that was a while ago. And we started playing music pretty much right out of the gates. We played a an open mic night that first semester in the fall of 91. We played like a song by Rhett Miller from the old 97s, and we played a cover of Me and Julio down by the schoolyard. And then we started writing songs for a battle of the bands in the early 92, and that we didn't get in, but I guess we got the last laugh.
Yeah, right.
I'm pretty near in my mid 50s, and we're still the same band. So, and we're playing Alaska.
You're playing Alaska. That's the most important thing. Well, what have you guys been up to recently? I know that you have a 3-day festival coming up with one of my favorite bands, Iron and Wine, after the Alaska show. And I know that you have an album that's still pretty new. I think just 2024 is when it came out. What else has been going on with the band?
Well, yeah. I mean, we had a very, very busy 24 and 25. We had an album come out. We did a tour called We Also Have Eras, kind of riffing on Taylor Swift, but we wrote a play about the band, and we had a script, and we had props and costumes, and we did sort of a chronological retelling of the band, and we did that in a big tour of that in 24, and it went so well we went everywhere else in 25. And we've been playing, you know, we play with orchestras 3, 4, 5 times a year. We just played with the Columbus Symphony, you know, a couple weeks ago. And we have our festival every year that you mentioned in Maine called On the Ocean. And that's always super fun. That's kind of like, you know, our fish festival, where everybody there has got Guster license plates and tattoos. And it's sort of like a big warm group hug that we get every year. This summer has been a little bit light. The three of us that met in college, all of our kids were born within, our first kids were born within 4 months, and all of our daughters are going off to school to college. So
wow.
We kind of are taking a very easy summer to kind of spend our last summer with our kids, which is, I think we're all, you know, pretty beat up about.
Yeah.
A lot of intermittent tears between all the dads, the moms, and the kids.
I bet.
So, but yeah, we, you know, in that time since we met, we've never really stopped. We were always touring or writing or recording. I think our last record was either 8 or 9. I should probably know that, you know, so we're on a clip to make a record every 3 years or so. But it's very much part of our lives and our lifestyle, and you know, it's the number one priority we have in our lives as far as work goes.
Happy to hear that this is not your first fish festival. It sounds like you're familiar with this kind of thing. Salmon Fest, as you know, probably by now, it's like not just a festival, it's a celebration of the salmon and all the ways we can protect them and keep them, you know, sustainable. I know your band has a lot of causes that you're passionate about. I read about your work with the nonprofit group Reverb. What can you tell us about that group, and why does that matter so much to you on top of the music there?
Well, Reverb was started by Adam, who's, you know, Adam, Brian, and I are the ones that met in college. And Adam and Lauren also, Adam met his wife Lauren at school also. We went to Tufts, and she was an environmental studies major. And I guess, God, maybe like 25 years ago, she was trying to kind of, looking around, and so was Adam, and we were looking at this sort of trail of garbage that we were leaving. We were leaving like 80 water bottles everywhere, and it's just trash. And you'd go after a club, and there'd just be so much stuff on the ground. And they were thinking, like, you know, the sustainability. He was the first person to ever tell me what green meant. You know, there was a minute before we didn't even know what that term meant, which is kind of funny to think about. Was like, what does that mean to go green? So he and Lauren sort of started this pilot program with us of like, what if we did biodiesel for our buses, and what if we use reusable water bottles and instead of having, you know, 80 plastic bottles every time. And it was incredible, and it started to feel good, and it expanded very quickly in a very big way. And they're coming past their 20th year, and they're just, I can't even say enough. I mean, it's thousands of tours, and Dave Matthews and Bonnie Raitt are on the board, and it's just been Farm Aid, and he just did Billie Eilish's tour, and Stevie Nicks, and Maroon 5, and it's really cool. They've been basically running this business, this nonprofit, for the last, you know, over 20 years, and it's just been an amazing thing to watch him go and learn from.
For sure, yeah. And so, Ryan, you're an East Coast guy yourself, I believe, from Massachusetts originally. I know you're joining us from Vermont today. What do you know about the decline of the Atlantic salmon over there and some of the causes for that? Are you in touch with that stuff?
Well, I'm actually from Texas, and we didn't have the salmon in Texas.
Oh,
The band started there, and we were there.
I mean, I see.
Luke grew up in Vermont, and Adam grew up in Jersey. Brian was in Connecticut. You know, I do live in Vermont, and I feel like Vermont and Alaska, there's so much I feel like we're in conversation. You know, we talk about it in the same ways. I have a friend named John Roderick who was in this band, Long Winters. He grew up in Alaska, and he was the first person I called, and I was like, I need some advice. I don't know what to do. And he was like, what's amazing about Alaska? He's like, there's nothing touristy. Anything that you do is going to be incredible. And I kind of feel the same way about Vermont. Like, it's hard to go wrong here. It's hard to have a bad, there's not a bad drive in this place. You can drive anywhere. And Vermont's one of the few states that has outlawed billboards. So every drive is just majestic. And it's just not something I appreciate. Like I said, I grew up in Dallas. I grew up in the, you know, the place where they had the most chain restaurants per capita. You know,
yeah.
I spent my entire life at going to shopping malls. So having raised my kids here, and understanding what it means, I really feel like there's like a deep connection with Alaska, even though I've never been. But the way that John talks about it, and I talk to people from Alaska because I've been doing a lot of research about what to do while we're there. It's funny. There's so much that that overlaps in how we think about this place, and not even just how we recreate, but how we live and what the ethos is. And so it's weird to feel kind of close to a place you've never visited before, but I do. Every conversation I have with someone, I'm like, oh, I know that. I know exactly what you're talking about. Not really, but I do, you know.
I think you might be right. And as I'm watching you answer this question, it looks like you're like swatting mosquitoes off of you. Maybe they're little biting flies. And I'm like, yeah, that looks like Alaska.
Well, so here's the thing. Like, we're there for a week, or we're here for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a couple things, but like, can you give me your top three things? If you're like, and this is basically all on the peninsula,
sure,
you know, cause we have time. So like Homer and Seward and what's it? Cooper Landing.
Cooper Landing.
Yep. Like what would you say that I have to do if I was there? And this can be like, eat at this restaurant or go see this bear eat a fish or what, you know, float this river or, you know, go see this whale. Give me your three. I need it because I still got some time here.
Got a lot of time to think about it. Well, I will say, you know, I've been here my whole life, and one of my favorite drives, if not my favorite drive of all time, is driving down to Homer. So hitting the Turnagain Arm and going down to the Homer Spit and hanging out there. I think you'll love it there. A lot of great food there in Homer and some really cool bars. They have a great library. Pretty much anything in Homer. If you want to see a bear eat something, your chances are really good. We're in peak bear season right now. So,
yeah.
I mean, just make sure you observe them from a distance. don't try to get close to them and their salmon. I mean, and the obvious thing, Ryan, is find someone that knows how to cook salmon really well. Are you a fan of salmon yourself?
Gigantic.
Okay, perfect.
Huge.
So, I mean, find someone that knows how to cook it. I feel like a lot of people in Alaska like their salmon on the kind of medium rare side. And I can't say that that's my favorite way to eat it, but I feel like that's how they make people eat it that maybe not super familiar. What's your favorite way to eat salmon? I have to ask.
I mean, salmon sushi is like, it's my number one.
Salmon sushi.
It really is.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But you guys don't eat it? You don't eat it as sushi there?
We do. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, our sushi restaurants serve, you know, raw salmon 100%.
Yeah.
And I'm sure.
I mean, I'll eat salmon cooked too, and I do like it. And I will eat salmon all week. And we're trying to go salmon fishing. We're trying to figure that out too. But yeah, I mean, a piece of raw salmon and like a dollop of soy sauce. Done. That's death row menu, but I'm not going to death row.
No,
never.
No.
Nothing I will do will be death row.
Right.
You know,
right.
Nothing.
Minor crimes only.
Exactly.
Well, what are you looking forward most to when you're coming up here to play? I mean, do you have any expectations?
Huge. I mean, you know, it's funny too. it's kind of crazy, and not to like get emotional, but like, we're going to drop my kid off for school 5 days after we get home. And so this is our last family trip, my wife and my two kids. And
oh, wow.
I think there's just like, there's a lot of emotion going into this. There's a little bit of emotion coming into like the band, you know, this being our 50th state and having a sort of to continue to achieve what we've achieved. It is a marker, I think, for us, you know, like to have done this. I think there's some real pride and being able to say, yeah, we've played every state, and you know, we played to 3,500 people in Columbus, Ohio. It's like the biggest show we've ever had in Ohio, like 5 days ago, you know, like that's wild. And the band still continues to grow in a lot of ways. And so there's a lot of emotion coming into, I think, just playing our 50th state. There's a lot of emotion just interpersonally with my family kind of doing this. Like, none of us have been there. There's a lot of emotion in terms of kind of what I was speaking about before, that this really feels like it's in conversation with our life here in Vermont, with how people talk about it, how they identify as Alaskans, how they recreate, what their neighbors are like, even though I know it's much different. And also there's all this stuff of like getting to see whales and talking about bears and being in mountains and talking about glaciers and drives. Like, I'm so Clark W. Griswold on drives. Like, I could just drive for like 6 hours and that's fun for me. And there's like, yeah. Oh yeah. Like, a few people have said that, like, that drive is one of the best drives in the world. You know, there's a couple drives that I'm looking at. And so I think there's the expectations around this are pretty intense. And so, I mean, I don't know, like, I'm not like worried that I'm hyping it too much, but, and again, like I have a community of people who I know, who I trust and who know me, who are just like, dude, you're not going to believe it. And that's just a lot, you know, there's a lot to that.
Yeah, 100%. If you like driving and scenic driving, there's not a lot of bad drives in Alaska. So you're going to love that part, I can tell you. And I will say another thing that you'll enjoy and it might surprise you is that fans of music in Alaska don't mess around. So, you know, unlike other states that get lots of music all the time, you know, we're constantly hungry for music and we don't get it as much as other people. And when we do see it, the enthusiasm is pretty unmatched. I travel a lot to go see, you know, bands I like in other states, and the energy is just not the same as it is in Alaska. So I think you're gonna enjoy yourself here for sure.
That's a very Vermont thing too. Like, people come here and it's just like, we don't get great big gigantic acts. They usually drive from Montreal to Boston.
Yeah,
so
sure.
When people come here, like Jack White comes to Vermont, and like, it's crazy because Jack White's don't come to Vermont, you know, that often, that right. Kind of thing. And people are psyched. So I totally get that. And I'm, you know, that I won't put too much expectation on. I feel like we've got to kind of earn it, you know, like it's like, okay. I it's kind of be kind of fun to play to a bunch of people who don't necessarily know who we are, or haven't seen us before. I love that. I love that this far into our career.
Well, I want to thank my guest, Ryan Miller. He's the lead singer of Guster. He'll be playing this year's Salmon Fest in Inilchik, which is taking place this weekend. Ryan, congratulations on all your big milestones you're hitting there, and I hope you enjoy your time in Alaska.
Yeah, thanks for the time. I'm so excited. Alaska forever.
Alaska forever, that's right. And that's all for our show. Thanks to our guests, David Stearns and Ryan Miller. Ammon Swenson produces this show. You can find us at the Hometown Alaska page on alaskapublic.org, the Alaska Public Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Dave Waldron, and thanks for listening.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.